Well, good morning. It is good to see everyone out this morning, and I urge you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Lord willing, we'll be kicking off with Joshua chapter 3 in a moment. The book of Joshua is a very exciting book, and in many ways, it is the book that sees the fruition of God's promises become reality. In chapter 21, in verse 45, the text tells us that all of God's promises that He made to the nation of Israel came to be. In Joshua 23, in verse 14, when Joshua is meeting with the elders of Israel, he tells them, you know that God has fulfilled all of His promises to you. And throughout the book of Joshua, and there are exceptions to this, understand, but for the most part, the nation is really at one of its most religious times, and a time when it is most sensitive to God and to His leading. There's a lot exciting about the book of Joshua. And as Israel enters the promised land, and as they begin to experience a variety of, for lack of a better term, adventures, many of their adventures and circumstances are marked by memorials and piles of stones. And so throughout the book, there is often this pile of stones that are heaped up with the question, what do these stones mean? What is it that God wanted Israel to remember? Because these were to be memorials, not just for that current generation, but for future generations. God wanted His people to remember certain things about certain events that were very important for their understanding of who He was. And so throughout the book, you see these piles of stones in chapter 3, and in chapter 4, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 24, even in chapter 22, which we will not talk about today. But let's begin with Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, Israel is getting ready to enter the promised land. They have waited for 40 years for this particular event. The reason that they have had to wait so long is Numbers 13 and 14. God told them, go take the promised land. And they said, oh, no. The people are too big. The cities are too well fortified. We can't do that. And so God said, because of your rebellion, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all of the current generation has passed away. And then your children will enter in to the land that God has given. And so in Joshua chapter 3, all of the preparations are made. They have spied out the land in Joshua chapter 2. They are ready to march into the land and particularly fight against Jericho. But one thing lays in their way, and that's the Jordan River. The priest in verse 3 are to carry the ark and to lead the way for the people. And as their feet enter into the water, the waters are to divide. In order to get ready to enter the promised land, the people are to be consecrated. Everything is to be made ready to prepare. And God divides the Jordan, and Israel walks over on dry ground. And God appoints people in Joshua chapter 3, in verse 12, and Joshua chapter 4, in verses 1 through 8. As you cross over the Jordan on dry ground, I want you to pick up stones from the Jordan. And in this particular case, stones are to be piled in two places,
First is in the Jordan itself in 4 and verse 9. And second is in the place where you camp, which according to 4:19 through 20 is Gilgal. And it is there that they set up the stones to commemorate the crossing of the Jordan. Now, what is it that God wants Israel to remember from this? He first emphasizes that he wants it to be used as a teaching opportunity for future generations. Look in Joshua chapter 4 in verses 6 through 7. He says in verse 6, "Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask you later, 'What do these stones mean to you?' that you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall become a memorial forever." So God wants this to be a teaching opportunity. You see the same thing in verse 21. "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform them, inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" This was a teaching opportunity, a memorial that opened the way to teach future generations about God. Children are naturally curious. You know, about 100 times a day, I hear the question, you know, "Daddy, what is this? Daddy, what is this?" They want to know things. Everything is new to them. And so as they see things for the first time, they wonder, "What is this?" And this gives, God plays off the natural curiosity of children in order to give you an opportunity to teach them about Him. But what is it that God wants us to pass on to our children? Well, let's back up to chapter 3. And let's see what God emphasizes as this major event is getting ready to happen. In Joshua chapter 3, in verse 10, Joshua says to the people, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you." God dwelling in the midst of His people is something that the Bible, one of the major themes of the Bible. It is something that God has emphasized to the people throughout their time in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 25, in verse 8, God wants to dwell among the people. Therefore, He is going to establish a tabernacle or a temple among them. In Exodus chapter 29, in verses 43 through 46, the text says this, I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and I shall be consecrated by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate Aaron and the sons of the ministers as priests to me. I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and I will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And God emphasizes that if He is going to dwell among them, He and His holiness, that it demands holiness from the people. In Leviticus 11, verses 45 and 46, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Same in Leviticus 19, in verse 2. You see, as we teach our children, or really as we teach anyone, we don't just pass on bare minimum facts to them about God.
What do these stones mean? It's not, well, you know, that was just one time, a long time ago, when God parted the river. No, it's the living God dwells among us. And so that has an impact on our daily life. Amen. And so in Exodus 25 and verse 8, we need to talk about how we worship God. And I don't just mean how that we're right and everyone else is wrong. I mean, how do we worship God in spirit and in truth? How do we worship God like He truly wants to be worshiped, so that in purity of heart and purity of mind, we come before Him and we honor and we praise Him? Because when Aaron forgot to go over that with his children, Leviticus 10, the results were disastrous. The living God being among you means we need to teach our children about how to worship God in the way and in the spirit and with the hunger that He has desired us to do so. In Exodus 29, in verses 43 through 46, God dwelling among us means that we need to be consecrated. We need to be set aside, in other words, separate, set apart. And so we teach our children that we are different from the world, that we do stand out. We teach our children, James chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, that friendship with the world is an enemy toward God. So we seek after God. We draw near to Him. We cleanse ourselves. We purify ourselves, so that we might become more like Him rather than more like the world. We show our children Leviticus 11 and Leviticus 19. What it means to be holy. Because the God that we worship and the God that we serve is holy and pure. So pure that sin can't get anywhere near Him. So holy that that attribute of God is repeated three times in Isaiah 6. When he sees the Lord, he hears those around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." John in Revelation chapter 4 repeats, sees a similar vision in which those around the throne again declare God, "Holy, holy, holy." God is so holy and God is so pure, and that means that His people need to be holy and pure. And so I need to demonstrate for my children what it looks like to live a holy and a pure life. And I need to teach them how to be holy and pure. Because it wasn't just Israel of old that was commanded that, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes to the brethren in verse 13 through 16, he says this: "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy,'" quoting from the book of Leviticus. He begins to describe us in chapter 2 in urging us to hunger and to thirst for God's word, and how that we are to imitate Jesus as living stones, and how we have been prepared to be a priesthood. But he says in verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into a marvelous light. For once you were not my people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have
receive mercy. You see, Peter says part of being a Christian is learning to be holy and learning to be obedient children. And so, no, when my child asks about the stones, I don't just tell him a long time ago God did something. I tell him about who God is. That God wants me to worship Him. That God requires separation from the world to distinguish, as the Old Testament puts it, between the clean and the unclean. God wants us to be His special people, and that requires me to be holy and you to be holy, which means transformation. Because our former manner of lust, 1 Peter 1 in verse 14, can have a hold on us. And transformation is always painful. And so I teach my children, but I also model for my children what it means to be holy, what it means to be transformed. That's what I want you to talk to them about when they ask about the stones. When they ask about the stones, I want you to talk about my power. In Joshua chapter, back in the book of Joshua now, in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4, in verses 23 through 24, we read verses 21 and 22 earlier, but in verses 23 and 24, it says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed, just as the Lord your God had done at the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. And so that you might fear the Lord your God forever." I want you to talk to them about my power. I want you to impress upon them my ability to control nature, my power, my might. We need to be in awe of the God that we serve, His ability to create, His ability to sustain, and most of all, emphasize about my power. That my power is used in order to help those who serve me. You see in 3 in verse 10, "The living God is among you, and He will assuredly dispossess before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite." I'm going to take care of all of these nations. I am going to use this by power on your behalf in order to help you. I've done it before, 4 in verse 23 at the Red Sea. I'm doing it again at the Jordan River. And my power will be used on behalf of you and of those who serve me. I don't know really anybody from a worldly standpoint who would have a lot of power or a lot of influence. Maybe you do, and I just don't know about it. If that's the case, please let me know. Maybe you could open some doors for us here at this congregation. But what a comfort to think about God's power and God's might, and to think, if I serve Him faithfully, He will use that power in order to help me. And so that means serving God in the good times, and that means serving God when things get difficult. That's what you need to tell your kids when they ask about what these things mean. Impress on them my power, and that my power can be used for their benefit. impress on them that God wants, that I want, and am concerned about all nations. You see this idea in 3 in verse 11. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing before you. God is dividing the Jordan River in 4 in verse 24 so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. He wants other nations to know about His greatness. He wants other nations to understand who He is. And so that's going to have a profound impact on the way that you interact with every single person. Because that's not just some Gentile, or that's not just somebody outside of God's covenant. No, that's somebody who God created, who God loves, who God made in His image, who He wants to know about His power and His greatness, and who He wants to serve them. And so that has impact on how the nation handles themselves. God never intended Israel to be isolationists who never interacted with other nations. They're just separated from themselves and just condemned the world. No, He wanted them to interact with the world to cause the world to become more like them. And if you don't believe that, turn in your Bibles over to Exodus 19, because that's what God specifically says when He makes the covenant with Israel. When He establishes His covenant, He doesn't just give them rules and regulations. He wants them to be people who pull other nations into an understanding of who He is. And so He says in Exodus 19, starting in verse 3, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. What is your job? Your job is to be a kingdom of priests, sharing and ministering God's word and God's commands to nations that don't know about Him. And God desired for Israel, in our terms, to be evangelistic. For Israel to share with others what God had done on their behalf so that they might know who God is. And God impresses upon Israel in Joshua 4 in verse 24, the reason for these events, the reason for the setting up of the stones, is that you might fear the Lord forever. A relationship with God is not going to be a temporary thing. It is not for a season when you have to take the land. It is not for a time when things aren't going well and you're in trouble. Nor is God simply there when everything's going right and disappears when trials and hardship come. No, when your children ask about the stones, I want you to tell them about the continuing relationship that you have with me. I want you to tell them about the highs. I want you to tell them about the lows. I want you to tell them about your struggles. I want you to tell them about your doubts. I want you to tell them about your hurts. I want you to tell them about your comforts. I want you to tell them about how I have helped you. I want you to tell how that you've endured hard times. I want you to impress upon them in every possible way that your relationship with me is eternal and never failing. That's what you say when they ask you about the stones. That's what you tell them. Because raw facts and short stories don't get us very far. But knowing who God is, knowing what He requires of us, knowing that we have a mission to act on His behalf, and that our relationship with Him needs to be ever growing and ever learning so that we become more holy and more like Him, will make a profound impact on you and on your children. Well, we got through one pile today. I guess we will have to pick up with this evening, or perhaps push it to next week. Bow with me, please. Oh Lord, there is none like You. None can compare. If we were to count Your great works, we would be unable to remember them all. We are amazed at Your power. We are in awe that all You have to do is speak and it comes true. We ask, O Lord, that You bless each one of us. Bless those whose children are grown, who have sought to teach them the ways of the Lord. Help them to continue to build on the foundation that they have laid. Help those who still have children and young children at home, who are still impressing upon those young minds who You are. Help us to do so with wisdom, to take advantage of each circumstances, each situation, each curiosity, to tell them about You. Lord, we ask that we be a holy nation. We ask, O Lord, that we be a kingdom of priests to the nations, that we instruct and teach others to bring them into the fold of God. Help us to worship in a way that is honorable and pleasing to You. Help our worship to be from the heart and from the mind. For our energy and our effort to be fully given to honoring You. For those around us and for our children to see the passion with which we serve You and the seriousness of following You. Help us to show our children that we serve you in all times, and that we're faithful to you in all times. Help us to show them what it means to be holy as you are holy. And Lord, so often we fail at that and present such an imperfect, pitiful picture. And we are so grateful for your grace and your forgiveness. Strengthen us. Make us a better example, a stronger follower who loves you more intensely and turns to you with all of our heart so that we are completely filled up with you. Lord, we know none of these requests are easy. And often even after we request them, we push back and fight about the reform and change that is needed to bring about holiness in our life. But Lord, we just ask that you help us, help our resolve, so that we might fear you all the days of our life. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You'll notice in Joshua 4, in verse 6, the wording of the question of the child is a little bit different from in chapter 4, in verse 21. What do these stones mean to you? Take every opportunity to teach our children and to teach others about who it is, the God that we serve. If there is any in the audience that need to make their life right with the Lord, we have this time and this opportunity set aside. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.